Good morning, everybody.
Good morning.
You'll have to bear with me. I have a cold. It seems like almost every time I'm teaching here, I have a cold or allergies or something. So, yeah, I'm a little bit stuffy. But I'm so glad to be back here teaching with you guys again. It's been, I guess, almost 2 months since I was here. School got in the way a little bit, lots of projects and papers and final exams, but I'm happy to be here. When Brandon set out the list of the topics that we're going to be teaching on for that five-week series that we've been doing, I saw forgiveness and I was like, right there, I'm all about that. So this is just something that's been on my heart over this last probably 6 months of my life, and something that God has been speaking to me about and has been teaching me new things. This week I'm intending to really go through and give us kind of a bigger picture view of forgiveness and some of Jesus' teachings on that. And then next week I'm going to be talking and delving more deeply into the parable of the prodigal son, which is something that I've been thinking a lot about. And I read this book by Henry Nouwen last fall for one of my classes, and it really impressed on me just the depth of forgiveness and understanding our roles in each of those characters represented in that parable. So today is the beginning of forgiveness. So we ought to start with, what does it mean? When I looked up the words in Hebrew and Greek, there is, I think, three Hebrew words and four different Greek words that translate to forgiveness. And essentially they mean to pardon, to cancel a debt, or to give grace. This week, we will be spending a little bit more time in talking about the pardoning and canceling a debt, and next week it's more focused on giving grace, okay? So these all sound like great ideas, and I think when we're separated from situations where we have to forgive, we're like, yeah, forgiveness is awesome, that's really cool, until we start encountering those situations where we get kind of stuck. So you often encounter that question. So this is all good, but do you know what happened to me? And when I was sitting around thinking about, okay, well, what are some things that I think people find challenging to forgive others for? It can range from like those day-to-day little tiny annoyances that get under your skin to some really big things that stick with you for years and years. And so, you know, some of them include getting cut off in traffic, getting laughed at. Being left out of something, somebody forgot to invite you to something, it can get to you, and those things will stick with you over time. Being passed over for a promotion for somebody else who maybe didn't deserve it. Being cheated on, I mean, it's a big jump between getting passed over from a promotion to being cheated on. By being abandoned by your parent. Into being abused. And God calls us to forgive for all of those things, from the little things to the huge things. But it's difficult, and so we're going to walk through some concepts today and thoughts about this. So, well, we know that we need to forgive, but we don't. So why don't we? What are some thoughts that you guys have? So what keeps you from forgiving? Pride? Yep. What's that? Resentment? Feeling justified? Yep. You kind of got burned and there's a history. Yeah. Said it's easier to hate somebody than to forgive them. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I think for me, forgiving makes me more vulnerable.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah, not forgiving lets us hold the power over.
Mm-hmm.
That we want to have.
Absolutely. Yeah, and that's definitely a big roadblock. Did you guys hear what Shelley had to say. She said that a lot of times when you forgive, it might be perceived as you're condoning that other person's behavior, and that can get in the way of you allowing forgiveness to happen. Mm-hmm. Right, you can't let go of it. Cool. So I kind of made up a list. Got pride, fear, because you don't know what's going to happen when you forgive somebody. When you're the one who's not forgiving, you're kind of in control. Because you can say, well, I'm still keeping you at an arm's length, or I'm not going to talk to you anymore. But if you let that person in and you're vulnerable, you're not in control of the situation anymore. Because of anger, the need for justice. Because I think sometimes, like what Shelley was talking about, where you think it's going to come off as condoning someone's behavior, if you really feel like that, you know, the justice must be done here, and we sometimes mix up that forgiveness means that that justice can't be done, and that's not true. Bitterness gets in the way, and the influence of other people, because there oftentimes can be a lot of people hanging out around you and going, well, you don't need to forgive that person. That's an unforgivable thing. And unfortunately, those are the kinds of things that'll sway us from going in the way of Jesus. So, yeah. And that's even harder because especially if it's a person of influence and a person that you respect that's giving you that kind of advice, it's really challenging. So, Jesus had a couple of things to say about forgiveness. And first of all, he gave us the Lord's Prayer. And I think it's really impactful that forgiveness is a part of the prayer itself. And then when Jesus went back to it, kind of at the end, giving a little bit of a commentary, the thing that he came back to of all of these things that are listed here is coming back to forgiveness. And so that's found in Matthew 6, verse 9 to 15. This then is how you should pray. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us today our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we have also have forgiven our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. For if you forgive other people when they sin against you, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. If you do not forgive others their sins, your Father will not forgive your sins. Has anybody ever noticed that before? Like how strong the language is that Jesus uses there? So what's the requirement for God's forgiveness of us? We have to forgive others first. That's kind of unsettling. So we need to extend grace to other people before God extends grace to us. Right, except for these situations. Yeah, no, Jesus is pretty clear. We have to forgive other people so that God may forgive us. Somebody says, what's very interesting to me is then a little while later, Peter comes up to Jesus in the next part. And he says, Lord, how many times shall I forgive my brother or sister who sins against me? Up to 7 times? Jesus answered, I tell you, not 7 times, but 77 times. Well, the interesting thing about this is that what Peter was asking Jesus was a question that a lot of the rabbis would receive. And most of the rabbis of the time said you should forgive people up to 3 times. That was kind of the standard. So Peter was asking Jesus if his standard was higher. And Jesus is like, dude, you got to go all the way. It's 77 times. And it's not just, he's not literally saying 77 times. Because in this culture, the number 7 was a number of perfection. And by the fact that Jesus was reiterating 7 more than once, in other translations it says 70 times 7, he was showing that you need to forgive until eternity. You need to keep forgiving that same person, that same offense, over and over and over and over and over again until you meet me in glory. So there's no little loopholes for forgiveness. Jesus isn't giving us a way out, saying that this person will do this to you a certain number of times, then okay, you can step back and say, no, I'm not forgiving you. Here's the rest of the parable. So Jesus starts telling a parable about what's titled in a lot of Bibles is the parable of the unforgiving servant. And it goes on. It's Matthew 18, the rest of, it's like 23 to 27. I'll do that part first. Therefore, the kingdom of heaven is like a king who wanted to settle accounts with his servants. As he began the settlement, a man who owed him 10,000 bags of gold was brought to him. Since he was not able to pay, the master ordered that he and his wife and his children and all that he had be sold to repay the debt. At this, the servant fell on his knees before him. "Be patient with me," he begged, "and I will pay back everything." The servant's master took pity on him and canceled the debt and let him go. So this guy had a debt of 10,000 bags of gold. Okay, that's an immeasurable amount of debt. In this day and age, that was meant to symbolize like a debt that could not be repaid by him selling everything he had, working for the rest of his life as an indentured servant. He would never be able to pay that back. So when the king said that he would cancel the debt, he was canceling something that this individual could never, ever pay back to him again. And so it was this huge level of grace that he was being offered. So here's the rest of the story. But when the servant went out, he found one of his fellow servants who owed him 100 silver coins. He grabbed him and began to choke him. "Pay back what you owed me," he demanded. So this 100 silver coins is about 100 days' wages. It's not a really small amount of money, but in comparison to the amount of money that this original servant owed, his immeasurable amount of debt, it was very small. One of the commentaries I read said it was 600,000th of the sum that he had owed to the king. So he got all this huge amount of debt paid, and then he comes and he's laying in on this other guy who owes him a very small thing in comparison. His fellow servant fell to his knees and begged him, "Be patient with me, I will pay it back." But he refused. Instead, he went off and had the man thrown into prison until he could pay the debt. When the other servants saw what had happened, they were outraged and went and told their master everything that had happened. So justice was done, because technically, since this servant could not pay the other servant back, he had the right to have him thrown into debtor's prison. And so he did it. But that's not what he should have done, because he didn't extend the same kind of grace that the king had extended to him. So the master, the king, called the servant in. "You wicked servant," he said, "I canceled all that debt of yours because you begged me to. Shouldn't you have had mercy on your fellow servant just as I had on you?" In anger, his master handed him over to the jailers to be tortured until he should pay back all he owed, which we know is impossible. So he was going to be in jail being tortured forever. "This is how my heavenly Father will treat each of you, unless you forgive your brother or sister from your heart." Jesus' addition to the end is like forgiving our brother and sister from our heart. It's not like a cursory sort of, "Well, I forgive you because God tells me I need to forgive you." It's forgiveness that comes from genuine desire to forgive, because we have hearts that are changed by God. Because we see what other people do and recognize that this is only a temporary circumstance in this world. And we see that God forgives us for everything. And so we ought to forgive others for everything as well. So how can we be obedient forgivers? What can we do to follow through? The interesting thing about this is before Peter approached Jesus, this is what Jesus was talking about. So when Peter came up to him and said, "Well, how often should I forgive? How much should I forgive?" Jesus had just finished telling this. He said, "If your brother or sister sins, go and point out their fault just between the two of you. If they listen to you, you have won them over. But if they will not listen, take one or two others along, so that every matter may be established by the testimony of two or three witnesses. If they still refuse to listen, tell it to the church. And if they refuse to listen even to the church, treat them as you would a pagan or a tax collector. So the important part, I think, about this is that where it starts is between you and the person that has harmed you. It's not about you and your all of your friends that you're telling this offense to. It's you're going to this person that has offended you individually. And then it can go to the larger community where you're getting a number of people involved to help restore that relationship. So to me, like, I think the most important thing we need to remember is don't gossip. I'm hesitating to use that word, but that's what it becomes. Don't gossip to other people about what's happened to you. Go to the person that's harmed you and talk to them about it first. And if there's not any kind of apology or any kind of movement forward, then you can go along and bring a trusted friend of yours with you to talk to that person. And so it's always engaging with that person that's offended you. So you're trying to work on relationship instead of having conversations behind their back. And honestly, that's really the best way to approach it. Other than this, there's no other specific guidelines for forgiveness. So this year, while I've been doing some reading, I read this book by Gary Chapman, who's the guy who wrote the Five Love Languages books. He had some guidelines for forgiveness in one of the chapters in this book, and I thought they would be really helpful for us. Forgiveness doesn't destroy your memory. So when you're forgiving somebody else, it doesn't mean that you've completely forgotten what's happening. So forgiving doesn't equal forgetting. And most of the time, it's probably not healthy for you to forget the things that you've forgiven. But when those thoughts kind of come back to you and things are sort of haunting you about the situations, make sure you keep releasing that anger and bitterness and hurt to God and praying over it and keeping in communication with that person that you've forgiven about those things is probably a really healthy thing to do. So recognizing that you're not just going to immediately forget what's happened is a really healthy thing to do, so you don't have unrealistic expectations about forgiveness. Also, forgiveness doesn't remove all the consequences of wrongdoing. Sometimes if somebody, you know, if your child takes your car and smashes it up, even though you forgive them for smashing up the car, it doesn't make the car untotaled. You know what I'm saying? There's still those consequences. Forgiveness doesn't erase the past. It's just our opportunity to let go of our right to be offended. Be prepared to have to continue to live with some of the consequences of those things that you've forgiven, whether it's a physical thing or an emotional thing. So you having to work through it still happens even though forgiveness is happening. Forgiveness doesn't rebuild trust. What happens when someone offends us is that trust is broken in small ways and in big ways. And forgiveness is a separate process from rebuilding trust. Forgiveness needs to happen first, and then you can work on rebuilding trust, depending on the situation. Sometimes it's not necessarily appropriate to rebuild trust, especially if it's in a situation where abuse has occurred. You don't have to put yourself back into that situation where you're trusting that person again, but you can still forgive them for what they've done. And the last point is that forgiveness doesn't always result in reconciliation. And I think that's kind of hard for us to deal with sometimes, because I think when we hear about forgiveness, we want everything to be this beautiful and happy thing all over again, where people are getting back together and all is well in the world. Well, it doesn't work that way, because the world that we live in is broken and people are sinful. And sometimes the other party isn't willing to reconcile with us. Or sometimes it's not appropriate for us to reconcile with the other party because it's not a healthy thing to do. Remember that time alone is not going to heal your relationship. So you've forgiven them. Don't just expect it to get back to normal over time. It's a process that you have to work through. And both parties must be willing to forgive and to rebuild trust in order for reconciliation to happen. I've encountered it personally in my life where another person, a person I was friends with, was not willing to reconcile with me after we had a falling out. And that was a really challenging thing for me to deal with because I had forgiven her. And I wanted to be friends with her again, but she wasn't willing to do that. And so having to walk forward in a relationship that's broken, that was once a very important relationship for me, was a big challenge. But one of the things that really helped me was just consistently remembering that I was doing the things that God was calling me to do. I was forgiving her for the wrongs that I felt and the hurt that she did to me. But it was still her decision to not enter back into friendship with me. So it's not always going to be like this perfect and beautiful thing when forgiveness happens, but you're allowing yourself to not live in bitterness. You're allowing yourself to walk in the freedom of knowing that you're doing the thing that God has called you to do, no matter what the other person does in response to it. Yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah. And that's kind of strange to think about because it's not like you can go to them and make a confession or to share your hurt feelings or anything like that. I think it's important to remember that when they're not with you, you always have God and in the Spirit working in you. And you can allow bitterness to root in your heart with somebody that's passed away a long time ago or is completely inaccessible to you because they've decided not to be accessible to you. You can still accept that process of working on forgiveness and allowing Jesus to heal you in those places that you're broken because of those hurts. Right. Mm-hmm. Yeah. It's hard work though. And we naturally want to avoid it because sometimes it rocks the boat a little bit, especially if it's a person that you're in contact with all the time and they don't even know that they hurt you in any way. You might have to suck it up and have that really hard conversation about something that may have happened a long time ago. And so that you can have as much healing as possible in that relationship.
I think another point for forgiveness is it's not always that clean. It's not like, mm-hmm. Well, because you murdered my brother that I need to forgive you of that sin. It's not a one-way transaction. Oftentimes, there needs to be forgiveness on both sides for something that's happened in the relationship. And you can't expect it just because you're willing to forgive the party for whatever you feel needs to be forgiven on your end. You can't just expect that in that process you're going to receive that same sort of grace in return. Mm-hmm. You can't withhold your forgiveness because you haven't received it from them either. Maybe we'll get into that next week with more of a grace focus. But, yeah.
One of the things I came across when I was studying this for this week, was the way that the communion and forgiveness work together. When we think about the Lord's table, it's an opportunity for us to come to God and to recognize the places where we have harmed the relationship with God. And we can say to God, I've messed up. I want this to be mended, and I want to be in relationship with you again. And the table is a reminder of Christ's sacrifice for us. But I think in looking at the scripture in the Lord's Prayer and seeing Jesus' very strong statements about us not being forgiven by God if we are not first forgiving others, that we can't come to the table without mending a relationship with other people. And I have a few scriptures here that I want us to go over, and then we're going to spend some time reflecting, and then sharing the Lord's table together. So first one is in Matthew 5, 23 and 24. Therefore, if you are offering your gift at the altar, and there remember that your brother has something against you, leave your gift there in front of the altar. First go and be reconciled to your brother, then come and offer your gift. And so as we approach that communion table today, I want us to think about it this way, and to think about how if we have something that's between us and another person, we need to get that resolved before we can come to that table. We need to lay that down before we approach and receive the gift that God has for us at the table. And here's a couple other scriptures from Paul that I think are just really beautiful, because it talks about the movement from having these things of sin and anger and resentment and some of the other stuff that we've talked about in the series. And when we remove that, we get the gift, we get the joy, we get relationship. Get rid of all bitterness, rage, and anger, brawling and slander, along with every form of malice. Be kind and compassionate to one another, forgiving each other, just as in Christ, God forgave you. Be imitators of God, therefore, as dearly loved children, and live a life of love, just as Christ loved us and gave himself up for us as a fragrant offering and a sacrifice to God. So be compassionate and kind to each other and forgive each other. And I love that this verb is forgiving. It's in this present tense. It's a process, because there's always going to be opportunities where people will harm us. And no matter how good our relationship is with God, there's going to be someone that offends us. And that we still need to be in community with each other. Each of us as broken people that have been made whole by Christ, still working together in this world that is broken. We know that we're going to harm each other. We know we're going to say things that hurt one another. We know that we're going to do things that wrong another person. So we must be constantly in the process of forgiving and not ever think that it's something that's done with. We're not going to be done with this until we die. And then the last scripture is from Colossians 3. Therefore, as God's chosen people, holy and dearly loved, clothe yourself with compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience. Bear with each other and forgive one another. If any of you has a grievance against someone, forgive as the Lord forgave you. And over all these virtues, put on love, which binds them together in perfect unity. So we need to remember that love is what allows us to forgive. It is God's perfect love given to us that allows us to forgive each other in our imperfect love. So there's three things I want to leave you with today. Firstly, Jesus commands us to forgive others as we have been graciously and wholly forgiven. There's no out for this. There's no loophole. This is a requirement. Secondly, forgiveness paves the way for fellowship with others and God. So if we're really being a community here, we need to be forgiving community. We need to be in relationship with each other, forgiving one another, fellowshipping together. And forgiveness allows us to extend God's grace in the world, providing a foundation to share his love to others. So forgiveness is not a natural thing. It's not what the world considers to be that make any sense. I remember hearing about several years ago, there was a massacre where some man came in and killed a whole bunch of children in an Amish schoolhouse. And the response of that community was something that allowed them to show the way of Jesus. Because the community came to the home of this man's family, and they just shared love with them. They forgave him. They forgave the family. They were so open to sharing the love of Christ and their forgiveness that it made national news. I don't want forgiveness to be such a rare thing in this world that we make national news when we do it. So I just want to encourage you and entreat you to see forgiveness as something that you do each and every day. When you let go of your anger, when you see the perspective of others and you enter into what Jesus has called us each to do. So just a couple of things to think about kind of as we move into some a time of music and communion. Who do you need to forgive? What's your barriers? What's standing in your way of forgiving? How will you respond to God's call to forgive? How can forgiving allow you to enter into greater fellowship with God? So I just encourage you this week to spend some time thinking about things. There's probably some people that you need to forgive that have been brought to your mind in this time today that you haven't thought about in a long time. So don't get so caught up in the Memorial Day spectacle to let go of the moment that God is calling you to right now. And, maybe we can talk about some more of this stuff next week when I'm teaching again about the prodigal son. Yeah. Definitely true. It's a two-way street. I'm going to pray over us, and then I think Nick is going to come and do some music. Father, we thank you for how much you love us. How much you sacrificed in allowing your son to come to earth and to die on the cross and suffer for our sake. God, we thank you that it's because of that love and that example that we even have the opportunity to truly forgive others for the small and large offenses that they have done against us. God, I pray that we would have the kind of hearts that would desire forgiveness first instead of bitterness. Or just grant us the ability to see in a bigger picture what it means to not crave after justice for justice's sake, God, but to crave love and a restoration of this world to the kingdom that you desire. God, I pray that we would see our place in that, and that we would extend incredible grace to those around us that frequently don't ever see a picture of grace at all in the world. It's just hardness and right and wrong. So, Lord, give us eyes to see and ears to hear and hearts that are attuned to your will, Lord, that we would be obedient to forgive those that we may have just pushed under the rug a long time ago and tried to forget about. But, God, let us allow you to come into these deep recesses of our hearts and to root out any bitterness and malice and anger that may reside there. Lord, heal us of our hurts so that we may go forth in this world continuing to love the way that you have loved us. I pray for these things in your name. Amen.